This is the 440th episode of the Bowtie Chronicles podcast, the podcast from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that gives you everything you need to know about the Atlanta Falcons. I'm D. Orlando Ledbetter, the Falcons beat reporter from the AJC. I'm here at Bank of America Stadium where the Falcons went down 9-7 to the Carolina Panthers, who won their second game of the season, dealing a near-fatal blow to the Falcons' NFC South title hopes and their playoff hopes. The Falcons will try to rebound next Sunday when they host the Indianapolis Colts at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium at 1 p.m. on Sunday. If you're listening to us for the first time, please make sure to follow the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Yes, that was correct. The Falcons lost 9-7 to the Carolina Panthers here at Bank of America Stadium. The Falcons' problem from all season long reared its ugly head. That old lady named Mr. Turnover, or Mrs. Turnover, however you want to call it. Fumble by Bijan Robinson led to a field goal. They made it 7-6. And then Desmond Ridder threw his 10th interception of the season. And the Panthers got the ball with 7:35 and went on a 17-play, 90-yard march down the field, where they got a Eddie Pinheiro 23-yard field goal at the buzzer to upset the Falcons 9-7. Here is Coach Arthur Smith's opening remarks.
Coach, you know, what did you say to the team after a game like this?
Yeah, obviously, you know, we didn't do what we needed to do coming in here, and it wasn't for lack of effort. We didn't make enough plays, you know, didn't do enough job getting them ready. And so you hung around, and then we turned the ball over late. And you do that, you'll lose. And so we, you know, this one stings, but we got to get back, find a way, and we got to get back in the win column. But not the result we expected.
The conditions, you know, the one fumble and the interception, where y'all how did you assess those and try to hope the defense could fail you out there?
Yeah, I mean, we did. We put them in the turnover, the sudden change. They did bail us out. You know, we held them to three, made some plays, and then came back out. I mean, the helmet, from what it looked like, my perspective, with Bijan getting out there, the ball popped out. And trying to play the win, obviously a conservative approach didn't play out for us, you know. And so then we took the drive after we made it 7-6. Had the long drive down there, and then we had the interception.
Well, all right. A lot went into the loss here today. It was rainy and cold, you know, steady rain throughout the day. But, yeah, no excuses. The Panthers played in it also. You know, we saw on Thursday night Brandon Staley and Coach Smith were hired at the same time. They got blown out by the Raiders, and then he and the GM for the Los Angeles Chargers were terminated. And Arthur Smith didn't dodge any questions about if he thinks he's the right coach for the Atlanta Falcons.
Well, I think in any job you take, you got to have a lot of self-belief. I mean, you know, this is the cycle of it. There's consequences when you lose, so these are natural questions, right? It's NFL 101. Jobs to win games. There's a lot of things that Every situation is different. There's a lot of things we've dealt with early on, but ultimately, you know, our job is to win games and get into the playoffs. So we'll still have an opportunity. It'll look like a long shot, but each one of these years has been different. We've got three different teams, a lot of different, you know, movement at some critical spots. But in the day, your job is to win. But we've met a lot of good. But I've got a ton of self-belief. And nobody should take a job they don't have belief in themselves. I can promise you that.
Yeah, well, he has a lot of belief, but the records are starting to stack up on the other side. This is supposed to be a breakthrough season, but the Falcons having, they're 6-8 with 3 to go. If they win all 3, that'd be 9-8. And, hey, maybe that's progress. They're playing the softest schedule in the league and having trouble with some of the teams that are, you know, considered to be at the bottom of the league. This was the fourth time they blew a game with the defense on the field. And those other losses were the Vikings, the Cardinals last week against the Bucks, and they're here today against the Panthers. They did get off the field against Green Bay, but that was a second or third game of the season, eons ago, basically. Now, let's hear what Desmond Ridder has to say about the key interception. He was rolling out to his left, stopped, thought about it, threw the ball to the middle of the field, looked like it was going right towards Xavier Woods. Kyle Pitts was in the area, but here is what Desmond Ridder said about his interception.
You know, I got around the edge, was able to make the guy miss. You know, I think it was second down there. We got to be able to just throw the ball away, live to see another down. We're all playmakers. We all got to go try and make plays out there. We just obviously have to know the right time, the right situation. That wasn't it. That was one where we could have, you know, either I just ran it out of bounds or threw it out of bounds over someone's head and we live to see another down. I'm trying to get it back inside. Like I said, you know, anytime you're throwing late over the middle, it's probably not a good idea. Like I said, trying to make a play, obviously trying to do too much.
Yep, he should have ran out of bounds or got as many yards as he could have, kept the ball, kept the clock moving, and if they'd got a field goal, at the very least, you're already on the 20. You started on the 31. So you didn't need to be greedy right there. Play the game, take the field goal, and then make Carolina drive the length of the field for a touchdown, which I think they would have got because Chuba Hubbard was stopped at the 1. But, you know, it would have been different. It would have been 5 minutes. They'd had to go faster. But, you know, you get the points and try to win the game. That didn't happen today. He tried to do too much, and that's been his problem throughout the season. Here is what Ridder had to say on his belief in Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I mean, Coach is a great coach. And, you know, we're all with Coach Art. You know, he puts us in the best position to be able to go out there. And like I said, at the end of the day, you know, he can call a play or whatever it is, but it's up to us to be able to go out there and execute. So we have to go out there and be able to go out there and execute and be better.
All right. You know, defensively, we wanted to find out what happened on that final drive. It was quite the drive. 17 plays. Bryce Young connected on a couple passes, the triple. He hit Mingo, and he also he had another big play to DJ Chark. And that allowed them to get down the field goal range pretty quickly. There was also a penalty in that drive. But here is what A.J. Terrell had to say about that final drive by the Panthers.
Yeah, we had opportunity to make plays, and we let some of them slip. And, eventually got us all the way down, got them all the way downfield, and you know, came to a game-winning field goal. But those are things that we can control, and that's what I was talking about, where we got to just make the plays and just get off the field.
Well, all right, they haven't been able to do that here of late in the season. You know, Vikings, Joshua Dobbs, Arizona, Kyler Murray, last week Baker Mayfield, and then this week Bryce Young. So they're gonna have to go back to the drawing board. You got a first time defensive coordinator too, so everybody will be scrutinized here at some point after the season. All right, Bijan Robinson had a key fumble in the second half. Here is what he said about if the helmet hit caused the fumble.
it was the helmet. You know, he came in and, you know, hit the ball out. But for me, like, I got to be more disciplined and understanding, like, when I'm in traffic and when there's traffic, I got to two-lane lock it. And either for me as a young player that's growing in this league, you know, understanding that, you know, when you're in traffic, like, guys are trying to get the ball out. And, you know, for me, you know, I got to be better, you know, as a player myself, and just be more disciplined when those kind of situations come, especially because it was rainy. Arms were wet. You know, there were so many things that were going on. So, you know, I knew that I had to, you know, keep that ball in tight and, you know, understand that, you know, that something like that just didn't happen no more.
Yeah, no doubt. So the helmet was a factor. Here is Bijan on being a leader over the final three games.
Especially for these next three games, you know, this is where I'm learning to become, you know, a leader for this team. And I know I'm a young guy, but, you know, I think, you know, just gaining the respect from the guys throughout the season has been huge for me. And, you know, I know that I can be a quiet guy sometimes, but I need to just, you know, understand that, you know, my voice can mean something for this team. And, you know, just that impact of what we're trying to do is definitely something I gotta do for the rest of the season.
Yep, he's just a rookie, but he's going to be here. So, yeah, it's okay to ask him about being a leader. Now, you know, Clarence Campbell, he still believes this team can compete if healthy. Here is Calais Campbell.
No. I feel like, you know, we get healthy, you know, get some guys back, and we get in a position to have a chance in the year. If we get to the playoffs, I think we'll be a touch in the beat still. This team is still talented to compete. You know, I mean, you know, we get some guys back in the trenches, you know what I mean? Get some on both sides, too. I mean, your lot is stud, you know. I mean, you know, Bud Dupree, another guy. You know, we get both those guys back. We get, you know, Caleb and Chris on the offensive line back too. I mean, I think this team is still super talented. Still has all the potential to be, you know, everything we want to be. You know, so I mean, I know we need a lot of help. You know, we don't just get in. I mean, but we just do our part, give ourselves a chance.
All right, now they don't just get in. Now, theoretically, they are a game back at 6-8. The Bucks and the Saints won today. They're both 7-7. So theoretically, the Bucks could lose all three of their games, and the Falcons could win all three of theirs. That would make them 9-8, and then that would make the Bucks 7-10. The Falcons would win because they would have to beat the Saints. So the Saints, best they could do, would be 9-8, but then they would be tied with the Falcons, and the Falcons would have the tiebreakers with the two wins over them. So that's where we're sitting here, you know, but there's no reason to think, hey, all of a sudden the Falcons are going to get hot and beat anybody. They've been playing bad, you know, inconsistent on offense, some good defense, but not great defense. They can't close the door on people. So there's no reason to think, oh, yeah, they're going to handle Gardner Minshew and, you know, the Colts on Christmas Eve. Oh, yeah, they're going to go up to Chicago and take it to Justin Fields and then come out and close it out with the Saints. So for that to all happen, they're going to have to hit the gas pedal somewhere. Some great coaching or some great introspection will have to have happened. If, you know, they're going to get on a roll here and close out the season with three wins. One of the other things they did today was started DeMarco Helms at safety, bench Richie Grant, had him playing in some of the nickel packages close to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, he struggled in coverage, got beat by Otten last week, had trouble against Trey McBride earlier this season. So no surprise, they have been kind of working Hallams in there, and he took over today as a starter at safety next to Jesse Bates. So here is Hallams on why Carolina's run game got going late.
You know, I just think they started, you know, to do more direct downhill runs, you know, but that's something that we prepared for, you know, something that we stopped, you know, early in the game, you know, something that we, you know, our expectations for us as a defense, you know, we should be able to stop anything coming at us. So,
How do y'all try to move forward? Just a game back in the division, still, you know, three games to play.
You know, it's all about, you know, the mindset that you have as a team. You know, we have a lot of guys in this locker room, you know, who still know that we have things ahead of us. So no one's heads down. You know, this is a tough loss for us for sure. But, you know, there's always room to bounce back. You know, this season isn't over for us. So, you know, we're definitely going to, you know, see how the season plays out for us. And, you know, whatever happens at the end, you know, it's all right for us.
All right. That's DeMarco, new starting safety. Linebacker Caden Ellis was having a game. The run game, they were doing pretty good with slowing down Chuba Hubbard and Miles Sanders. Sanders couldn't get anything going, but they did get it going a little bit there late. And I just want to look here at the tackle stats. Jesse Bates led with 10. Ellis had 5. Here is Caden Ellis on the defensive breakdown on late drives this season.
I'm going to have to go watch this one because I know some of them have been 2 minute, and this was more of a 4 minute drive, more of a run the clock and, you know, Panthers mindset, see what we can get, you know, not in a rush, not in a hurry. So it was a little more methodical this time. I'm going to have to go watch the film, see what happened exactly. At the end of the day, though, it's not good enough. You know, it starts with me and each player individually. Because I believe in the calls that we're being given. I believe in them. I believe in this group and the players. It's just we got to go out there and in those last drives make the plays we need to make.
Did they do anything different with the run game? Because y'all were all over Hubbard, you know, early on. And the fact that they got, were able to get it moving a little bit late.
Yeah, you know, they, again, I'm going to have to go watch it exactly. But, they were able to cut back a couple times and, and find some creases on the backside of our run defense. You know, we bottled them up. I don't know how many times they ran it and how many times we had TFLs or no gains. But then all of a sudden, like to your point, they were able to get a few. So just not good enough.
All right, that's Caden Ellis. So we heard from Arthur Smith, Desmond Ridder, A.J. Terrell, Bajan Robinson, Calais Campbell, DeMarco Hallams, and Caden Ellis. So right now we're going to take a break. This is the Bowtie Chronicles from the Atlanta Journal-Constitution.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
All right, we're back here, and before we move on to some of your mailbag answers on the tweet following the game and going over some of our notes here from the game book, I'd like you to know about this special offer that the AJC has for you. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution has a special offer for our podcast listeners. If you subscribe today, you get 3 months of unlimited digital access for just 99 cents. That's all of our sports coverage, politics, breaking news, investigations, food and dining, and so much more on AJC.com. Plus, you get access to our e-paper and our assortment of newsletters. So join our community by going to subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. That's subscribe.ajc.com/podcast. So you always know what's really going on. All right, let's go over some of the stats here in the game. We were talking about, hey, maybe he played too conservative. Maybe not conservative enough. Shouldn't have been rolling out with the option to throw there. Maybe you know, just pound it in the ground and get a field goal and get out of here. But nonetheless, they lost. Tyler Algier led in rushing with 14 carries for 45 yards. Bajan Robinson had 7 carries for 10. caught one of his three targets, had a drop for 3 yards. Cordarrelle Patterson caught a shovel pass for a 2-yard touchdown. Quarterback Desmond Ridder was 12 of 20 for 152 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 79.6 passer rating. Now, Kyle Pitts got 4 targets today, caught 3 for 37. Jonnu Smith had 2 for 61, including that big 56-yarder. Drake London, after his big week last week with 10 for 172, gets 2 catches for 24 yards. And Cordarrelle Hodge had 1. Tucker Fisk had 1. Tyler Algier 1. Robinson 1. Patterson, that was his only catch. And then Von Jefferson, 1 target, no catches. So that was the offense that was generated here in the rain. Let me look at some of the key other stats here on the team stat page. The Panthers had 17 first downs to the Falcons, 12. Falcons were 6 of 13 on third down. The Panthers were 5 of 15 on third down. Both teams struck out on fourth down tries, 2 by the Panthers, 1 by the Falcons. Big stat here was the turnover stats, a big one, 2-0. And the time of possession was 33.56 to the Falcons 26.4, which, you know, they knew that the Panthers were going to run the ball. That's what they've been doing since Chris Tabor got the job. This was his first head coach, first win as the interim head coach for the Panthers. And they've been just trying to run the ball and shorten up the season and get out of here at 1-12. That's, you know, what you do. But now it's 2-12, thanks to the Falcons here. Defensively, what do we have here? Jesse Bates with 10 tackles across the board. Nate Landman with 8. DeMarco Hallams with 8. Caden Elise with 5. Clark Phillips with 5. Calais Campbell with 5. Those are your top tacklers. The Falcons did have 3 sacks today. Calais Campbell with 1. Zach Harrison was his first career NFL sack. And first career sack for Tyquan Graham also. So Ellis referenced their tackle for losses and their 0 gains. They did have 9 tackles for losses. They were jumping the run game and trying to keep it under control. And let's see, Campbell had 2 tackles for losses and Harrison did 2. Passes defense, 0. Interceptions, 0. Quarterback hits, 5. So you got 3 sacks and 5 quarterback hits. And Bryce Young did a good job moving around and making some plays with his feet, too. So that was one of the takeaways here. Let's just look at the Panther stats here before we move to the mailbag here. Hubbard ran 22 times for 87. Amir Smith-Marset, the punt returner, got some jet sweeps and some old wing T inside handoffs. He had 4 carries for 31. And then receiving-wise, Adam Thielen came in with 85 catches. He had 4 for 32. Mingo had Jonathan Mingo, the rookie from Ole Miss, had 4 for 32. And then Tom Tribble, the tight end, had 2 for 32. DJ Chark only had 1 catch, but it was a big one along the sideline there in that 17-play drive for 18 yards. So those were the key pass catchers for Carolina. Now we asked everybody, hey, how are y'all doing? How are you doing after this one? We had a kind of string of quotes there at the end. You know, just checking in on the fans. And y'all know how we've been doing it this year. This is our mailbag. It's Panthers 9, Falcons 7. How are y'all feeling? And we had 141 people leave comments. And before we got going, I was like, hey, is this really happening? Asking for a friend. And that was 53 comments there. So let's look at what, you know, I'm expecting some firing and play calling stuff. We won't dwell on that. I feel good since I decided to take a much needed nap instead of watching what transpired. All right, good for you, black and waxed. This is a black waxed and vaxed. Okay. Peachy future. Like I felt back in early November, completely over it. Smith and McKay need to go, and Blank needs to hand over the team to his son. The culture needs to shift. Okay, Erica, she's a regular. I told you weeks ago that dude was a horrible coach. He is so arrogant. He never takes responsibility for his terrible game plans and play calling. Dez is a turnover machine. Why is he throwing in the rain? All right. That's Erica. She's been bringing it all season. Thank you for staying with us here, Erica, and reading the content we've been putting out there. Mort, cool Mort. I really hope. Okay, I'm gonna clean up the grammar here. I think he wanted to say, I really hope this will be the nail in the coffin for this duo. If not, I'm log on for a new team. Okay, I will log on. Okay, there's a lot of firing. I would cut Ritter before he gets on the bus. Breaking news, Atlanta Falcons are moving to London by Dear Orlando AJC. As expected, and will continue as long as Smith and Ritter are still in the house. Okay, hoping you break the story in the morning that the Falcons have fired Smith and he is taking Ritter out the door with him. Now, we did effort to talk to the owner tonight, and Ken Segura was told that, hey, you know, now wouldn't be a good time to discuss the coaching situation. All right, here's Mike Bremer. Hey, let the search committee begin gathering candidates to be the next Falcons coach. Okay, there's a lot of that. And, I mean, that's just the world we're living in. You saw where Brandon Staley got fired after the 63-27 game on Thursday night. And so here's another comment. Waiting on all the Ritter and AS apologists. 3 years and 3 years of missing the playoffs. Can we get a new coach and GM, please? Yeah, a lot of Smith has to go. There goes the playoffs. Smith shouldn't be allowed on the plane. Need a new coach and quarterback. Yeah, a lot of fire, the coach, a lot of sentiment there. So we'll see. You know, we know that Arthur Blank likes to go to the end and do his review. You know, he was really patient with Dan Quinn. We knew he wanted Dan Reeves to finish out the season. Bobby Petrino just picked up and left. Jim Mora got to finish out his season, though, even though he knew he was gone. And same thing with Coach Smith in his last year in 14. They kind of, after London, kind of knew they were going to be gone. And he was fired at the end of the season. So we'll see if Coach Arthur Smith gets the patience that Dan Quinn got. And if he can convince the owner that, hey, this is, you know, we're moving in the, you know, right direction. He knows he's got to win games. They're not winning. They're 6-8. They might not be, they might post a six consecutive losing record against what was supposed to be the easiest schedule in the league. They don't have a quarterback. They want to build out the team and then drop the quarterback in later. I don't know if the owner's going to be patient enough for them to continue to build the team out. It's clearly, they still need some players. They missed on some players. You know, they set a second round pick today. They shipped a third round pick out earlier this year. So, you know, the draft's not 100%, but you want to see them hit in those first three rounds. So that's where we're at here. The Falcons are 6-8 and may have been exposed as an NFC South title imposter here in Carolina. And, you know, this playoffs talk, you know, needs to stop till they win a game. Beat somebody, get off the field in the fourth quarter, you know, do things that good football teams do. So we're not going to even use the playoffs and, dig into the probabilities of them making the playoffs until they win a game. So if they beat the Colts, I'll start using the playoffs again. If they beat the Colts, we'll look at the playoff scenarios and how they could win the title. But until they can beat somebody, that's just a bunch of jibber-jabber. So let's just stay away from that and say, hey, let's see a first down here. Let's see a touchdown. Let's see back-to-back drives. Let's see you score on the opening drive of the game. You know, things that good football teams are doing late here in the season. So with that, we're going to get on out of here and get on back to Atlanta in the morning. Or we know we're going to go straight to Flowery Branch just in case. And get right there in position just in case. And then if not, we'll be there for open locker room and for coaches' discussion on how they plan to move forward and get ready for a Colts team that's they've been playing with a lot of backups and winning. So, they're doing a good job up in Indianapolis, winning with Gardner Minshew. Jonathan Taylor's out. Anthony Richardson's out, they cut Shaq Leonard, but they're winning. They found a way to win 8 games here, and they're in the race over there in the AFC South. So with that, we're going to wrap up here from Bank of America Stadium, where the Falcons dropped 9-7. Yeah, that's right. 9-7 to the mighty Carolina Panthers, who came to play. With the game on the line, they marched down the field 17 plays and 90 yards and got them a field goal for their second win of the season. So with that, we're going to ask you to take care and have a great rest of your week. Get your shopping done and get ready for Christmas. Bye now.
In Atlanta, one voice has stood out for over 4 decades. An AJC original, The Monica Pearson Show.
Let's talk about how you got to ESPN.
Revealing interviews.
You are known as America's doctor, but I want to know who you were before that.
When you have a different name, you have different color skin, it can be tough.
With Atlanta's most famous faces as you've never seen them before.
I'm telling my story. This is the American dream.
The Monica Pearson Show, streaming now on AJC.com.
Hip-hop is a product of black people. It's a product of black song and celebration.
The Atlanta Journal-Constitution presents
hip-hop's most pulled elements are pulled from the South.
A Southern hip-hop story.
We always go back to that moment of the Source Awards.
Everybody wants your rhythm, but they don't want your blues.
The biggest names in hip-hop.
Atlanta is still the mecca for hip-hop.
50 years.
No one can deny.
One film.
The power of the South now.
The South got something to say. Streaming now at AJC.com/hip-hop.